Scott was sharing the burden live back with Kathleen, talking about books she contributed to and a leaflet helping people with grief, something that we'll talk more about in the future. And want to mention, well, by the way, it's my birthday.
Big happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Scott.
70, you believe that? I can't quite get over that. It's the first number that's been so significant for me, but 7 times 10 just starts to sound like a lot of space in there. You know, I remember Wes, big friend of mine, remember him saying he was 64 when he died, I think. And I remember him saying to his daughter, he had a daughter who was about 4 years old when he was 64. But anyway, I remember him saying, you know, well, I'm old. I'm an old man, you know, and he, I don't feel that way, by the way, but he said, I'm an old man. He says, it's hard to get this, to be around this long, you know, and get this far, you know. He said, it's a real accomplishment, you know. And I know what he meant, I think. But anyway, God's Mercy. That's the title of today's reading in our Life Recovery Devotional. And I always mention how we arrive at what we look at in this Life Recovery Devotional, which is available out there online, along with the Life Recovery Bible, Workbook, and Journal, and other related materials. And these are the only materials we use to build the Sharing the Burden program, other than a lot of searching and fearless discussions that we do online, like this one, and like many others that we do of a similar nature in meetings with several people. Particularly in jails these days, where we do about 10 meetings a week, or up to 10 meetings a week now in different institutions. We have 22 people facilitating meetings in these jails now, so, and we're just starting to grow, and hope you can all get involved with us somehow in that, at least from a prayer perspective. You know, you can help us in any way, the same way you can help any charity, but find us, sharingtheburden.ca, see how we can be involved in something together. So we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's the fourth step. We're on the 10th day, so when we're looking through this book, we see on the top of every page a step from 1 to 12, and then we see a day from 1 to 30. The step corresponds with the month. So if it's step 4, it's April. If it's step 5, it's May. If it's step 6, it's June. If it's step 1, it is January. If it's step 12, it's December, and so on. So we're on step 4. And we're on day 10 because it's April 10th, which is my birthday. And this one's, as I say, it says, God's Mercy is the title. And it opens up by saying, we may wish we could avoid making a moral inventory. It's normal to want to hide from examination. And I might add, especially when we have things or have done things that we don't really want to think about, let alone let anyone else think about. But in our hearts, we probably sense that a day will come when we'll have to look carefully at our lives. And that's so appropriate for what we're talking about here today, too. You know, the loss of a son, the loss of our only son, actually. And, you know, there's girls involved, in my case, a couple of daughters, and Kathleen's one, anyway. And, you know, and big difference, but you know, I always relate to my Savior when I think of this, because, you know, they always talk about the one and only Son, and that's all I had, you know, and still have, but in a different realm. And I truly believe, we'll spend eternity together with a lot of other people. But this thought of not doing an inventory, I mean, and I've built my inventory for life around Sean's life. And every inventory I do, year after year, day after day, is totally involved with him. Because, as I said before, he's the author of our lives in many instances. And as Kathleen has said, we've found different ways to contribute not only to his life, but to the world, to society, to God in general. And it's by giving back, and I think when you are able to give back from a hurt perspective, that giving back is really valid and meaningful, and you know, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference in other lives. It helps people heal. It's the only medication for our healing, I believe. The fellow who one of the co co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, actually, Dr. Bob, said when someone came to him and just couldn't seem to get it straight, similar to Bob's own life, but this person said, you know, what the heck is a prescription? You know, give me a prescription that'll help me. Give me something. He was a doctor. He was a surgeon. He could write prescriptions. And this fellow probably wanted drugs of some kind. I just, he wouldn't have these urges or whatever anymore. And, Bob, took a prescription pad and, scribbled some stuff on it, handed it to the guy. And you know what it said? It said, trust God, clean house, and help others. And that's all it said. You know, and that stuck with me as one of the few things in life that I don't forget, you know. You know, trust God, trust your higher power, trust whatever you believe is behind everything. Clean house, which means exactly what we're doing here today. We're, you know, in order to clean it, we gotta know what's in it, right? In order to have a business, we gotta know what we got to sell, you know. But we don't do inventory of our own selves, especially our emotional makeup and, you know, how things in life contribute to that and so on. So, prescription for life. Trust God, clean house, help others. Any comments on that, Kathleen? You resonate?
To a certain extent, yeah. I think I've mentioned on this show before that my philosophy is to do an inventory once and to close that door, that you don't keep revisiting what you have visited and visited. And if you can't get away from what you keep visiting, for me, I think you need some more serious help, that you're probably feeling very angry over, and guilty about something. When I tend to go back in the past over something that I've already analyzed, regretted, asked forgiveness for, and I go back to it, I just shut it out. I just say, no, you have dealt with that. So there's no need to revisit that. And I know that's a little bit of a, maybe a different philosophy from your group where,
Not really. I mean, the one exhaustive inventory that this suggests, people who've been around these programs for a long time will do more of them for the simple reason that as you do them, you know, your lenses change, your perspective changes over time, and you have a different look at, not so much for history, but just, like I'll do emotional inventories quite often. You know, I'll have a look at how I'm feeling, you know, and go into the triggers that cause the feelings and blah, blah, blah. But I do that on, in our 10th step, it says we continued to take, moral inventory. And when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. So what it's saying is, we've got to be inventorying who we are, you know, on a day-to-day, week-to-week, monthly-to-month thing.
And, that makes sense,
And fixing the situation as it happened as opposed to, you know, having to do this exhaustive thing that brings us back to the beginning and tries to put together a sensical, logical way that we were thinking, doing, and so on. So we learned who we were. And now we know who we are, and if we want to keep knowing who we are, we've got to keep having a good look at ourselves, have a way to do that. So that's what inventory means to me today. It doesn't, you know, not going back to all these hurts and pains and things, although I hear others do it all the time, and that's,
That's what resonates for me, because that's exactly what I hear. Like, even related to grieving or mourning, it's, if only I hadn't done that, if only I had said this. Yeah. So it's all, to me, it's kind of redundant. It doesn't lead you anywhere. It's not productive. You can't change the past. So, you know, my philosophy and continues to be is, this moment and forward. That's how I live my life. So each action that I take today leads to a future that I'm going to look back on and say, that was a great 10 years. You did well personally and in your relationships. So today, as you notice, when I sent you an email last week that was not the kindest, I immediately apologized for that. And that's how I live my life now. As I take a bad action, I make every attempt to correct him. Because in 10 years, I want to look back and say, my gosh, I'd had a great 10 years, and I don't need to do a moral inventory and apologize to 250 people.
Well, you do that with the internet now. You just do it once and flip it all over the place.
It's done. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But it's a good point. And as a matter of fact, when we're, you know, showing people how to, you know, to use different formats to do a moral inventory.
Yeah.
We quite often will tell them what we'd really like to see you do is go through all this, have this in-depth discussion, maybe a whole bunch of discussions to get to where you have a nice package that sort of says, this is who I think I am, and you might want to say to this trusted person, priest, minister, doctor, you know, a friend in Buddhism, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But you might want to discuss it at length, pray about it, however you do that, and then burn the thing.
Yeah.
You know? Burn it, that's watch excellent. It go in the fire.
It's like ceremonial.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're done. It's history, you know. And those things are significant, and they seem to work. I'm going to close the show today, Kathleen, and my friend Jay over here behind the wires, I like to call him. He's the guy who produces the show. So you got a problem, find Jay somewhere, and Jason Rumball. And
hey, now.
Give him heck.
No, everything will be fine.
He does a great job. But I want to read this piece, and when I finish, we'll just get Jay to close. And it's called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, and it's a piece that we use, we read in every meeting, inside jails, outside jails, wherever, and it's my formula for being in the moment, folks, because the moment is all we ever have. We can never go into the future, we can never go into the past, and believe it or not, even though it is always now, it's now, it's now, it's never yesterday, it's never tomorrow, most people live in yesterday and tomorrow, and they're the walking dead that we talk about, mm-hmm. us most of the time. mm-hmm. Anyway, here's how it goes. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry. 2 days which should be kept free from fear and apprehension. One of these days is yesterday, with its mistakes and cares, its faults and blunders, its aches and pains. Yesterday has passed forever beyond our control. All the money in the world cannot bring back yesterday. We cannot undo a single act we performed. We cannot erase a single word said. Yesterday is gone. The other day we should not worry about is tomorrow, with its possible adversities, its burdens, its large promise and poor performance. Tomorrow is also beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow's sun will rise, either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it will rise. Until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for it is as yet unborn. This leaves only one day. Anyone can fight the battles of just one day. It's only when you or I add the burdens of those two awful eternities of yesterday and tomorrow that we break down. It's not the experience of today that drives people mad. It's the remorse or bitterness for something which happened yesterday and the dread of what tomorrow may bring. Let us therefore live but one day at a time. Thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.